Good morning.
Good morning.
Ooh,
thank you, Kathleen. Lots of happy sounds out there. What a precious opportunity and privilege to gather together to sing and to pray and to lift one another up, to be encouraged, and to learn about our great and loving God. A God who wants to draw near to us. A God who will inhabit. That means he will be in and part of our praises this morning. Psalm 95, 1 through 6 says, "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." What powerful words to remind us that God, our Father, is the creator and ruler over all things. All things were made, and we were made to worship him. Please stand and join in Made to Worship, followed by a great hymn of our faith, "He Leadeth Me." Now, we, as you can see, there's positives and negatives to everything, right? We can see the window this morning, but our projector is not working. We've needed a new projector, and I'm pretty sure it heard us talking about that. So it just said, "I'm going to check out on you now."
It's a strike.
It's on strike, yes. But anyway, because of that, we don't have the words, but you should have the words in your hand. When we sing "He Leadeth Me," we ask that you pick up your hymnals and turn to page 128. You might want to go ahead and do that now, because we're going to go right from one song to the other. And let us stand and join in "Made to Worship," followed by that great hymn of faith, "He Leadeth Me."
One, 2, 3, 4. For the day, before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped out into time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder so that we always remember you and I were made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, you and I will see what we were meant to be. And all we are and all we have is all a gift from God that we receive, brought to life. Open up our eyes to see the majesty and glory of the King. He has filled our hearts with wonder so that we always remember you and I were made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. You and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe, you and I will see what we were meant to be. And even the rocks cry out, and even the heavens shout at the sound of his holy name. So let every voice sing out, and let every knee bow down. He is worthy of all our praise. You and I were made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, when you and I choose to believe,
What wonderful words from those songs of great faith. Good morning again and welcome to everyone, especially if you're visiting with us. We pray that you will be blessed and will bless us again by coming once again and again. Pastor Dan is in the midst of sharing with us the five steps for growing closer to God. And today his focus will be on Scripture. And when I was thinking and praying about what to share this morning, I didn't realize that on the way to church, on the radio, I heard something that was so applicable to growing closer to God. And there was a lady that gave this example. She said, you know when you put on a button-up shirt, and if you start buttoning in the middle, how you get them all messed up, and then you have to button again. And she said, what you have to do, we learn, is you've got to start at the top. You've got to do the top button first. And I was like, yeah, wow, that goes so well with us growing closer to God. God is the top button, and making him first in our lives, not our work, not our families, you know, for our young people, which is so wonderful to look back there and I see so many youthful faces. That's just so awesome. Yeah, you too. Yeah. I mean, all your faces are youthful. That wasn't a very good way to say that was. But anyway, very youthful faces, teenage faces. But making sure that he is the top button, and that's what we're talking about. But today, Dan's going to focus on Scripture, the Holy Bible. What a gift. Words of comfort and encouragement and words of hope, healing, words that challenge and at sometimes perplex. Stories of great faith, songs, and a reminder of promises that have been kept and those to come. Our next song, Word of God Speak, is a prayer, asking God to speak to us through his words, both written and those spoken through the Holy Spirit. So let us be still and know that he is indeed here, speaking to us now, in this moment, in this time of worship, and in the words that Pastor Dan will share. Words of God speak. Let this be our prayer.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God speak, would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, to hear your voice. Word of God, speak, would you pour down my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak, would you pour down like rain, washing
is that fun time of greeting one another.
Well, if I can get you all to get back into your seats, we'll go ahead with our worship service. Although I think that what we're doing is worship as well right now, so it's, I don't want to make that distinction. Fellowship is a big part of what we do together as in worship. And it's a joy to hear all that noise out there. You know, I think that part of my theology is that the sanctuary is sort of like God's living room. And when I have people come over to my house, I always tell them, make yourself at home, you know. So that, you know what that means. That means if you want to look in the refrigerator and grab something out of the refrigerator, you want to put your feet up on the table, take your shoes off, sit a spell. And so I think that's kind of the way I've always thought of the sanctuary as well. So it's a place where we can just relax and be ourselves. Kind of like you guys can do at your homes, right? You know, you can just kind of be yourselves. Today, I'm going to be talking about Scripture, which is the Bible, and reading the Bible. And I bet some of you all read the Bible sometimes, and maybe sometimes your parents read the Bible to you at home. But I want to tell you a little story. When I was growing up in the church, one of the things that my Sunday school teachers sometimes did was they would have us memorize Bible verses. Anybody out here in the congregation ever have that? I don't know if it's as popular to ask kids to do that as it used to be. Have any of you all ever been asked to try to memorize Bible verses? Okay. Well, you might try sometime. It's a good way, because then sometimes when you're in the middle of something and something's going on in your life, and it's really helpful to have those things in your mind already, and they come up when you need them the most. But I want to give you guys a secret trick today. Alex, you want to hear this? I got a trick for you, okay? This is pretty sneaky, okay? Pretty sneaky. If something that we used to do, when somebody would ask us to memorize a Bible verse, we learned there was an easy way to do it. You want to hear how to do it? There's a Bible verse that's the shortest Bible verse in the whole Bible, and it goes, Jesus wept. Did you know that's the shortest verse in the Bible? Jesus wept. Can you say that? Jesus wept. Did you now? Can you memorize that? You could probably remember that, couldn't you? So if anybody ever asks you to memorize a Bible verse, you can pick that one. Now, let me ask you real quick. Do you know what that means? Do you know what wept means? Cried. He cried. Jesus cried. So what does that tell us about Jesus? He was upset. So he got upset. So he was like a real person with real feelings. And sometimes he got sad and sometimes he was happy. And you know what that means? You know what's so good about that for us is that it means that Jesus can understand how we feel too, you know? Isn't that cool? So, okay, let's have a prayer together, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for these children. Lord, what a blessing they are to us. And Lord, we just ask that you always help us to remember what an awesome responsibility it is for us as a congregation and to remember the vows that we've made to help raise these children up to be followers of you, Lord. So let's always look out for ways that we can help them to grow in you and to learn more about your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you guys can go back to your seats now. Thank you so much for coming up.
Today's scripture lesson comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to do a little bit of music again, as I have been sort of doing. It sort of gets me in the mood to preach, you know, when we just do a song together. And you guys, last week, you all sounded so great. I guess it was just lucky that you knew that song. And it was very inspiring to me to hear you all singing out like that on How Great Is My God. And this one you may have heard too, so please help me out with this one. It's got a really simple chorus. You may have heard it before. trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Help me out now. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. One more time. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Let me hear you now. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. One more time. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Amen. All right. One more song. Had y'all ever heard that one before by any chance?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, 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 Lord, yes. This is the air I breathe. Is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. I'm lost without you. really just do that because I got a really short sermon and I need to need to fill up some time. There's some joke, and I can't remember how it goes, but a good sermon is one that has a beginning and end, and the shorter that it is in the middle, the better, or something like that. I can't remember who said that. Let us pray together, please. Lord, once again, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations and understandings of all of our hearts, Lord, be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, as Jackie said, we are continuing a sermon series that we kind of started last week. And we're calling it The Five Steps to Grow Closer to God. And as we talked about a little bit last week, when we're talking about growing closer to God, we're talking about growing in our relationship to God. Remember, we talked about the cross and how that long vertical beam could remind us about that vertical relationship, our relationship with God. We're growing not only in our relationship to God, but we're growing in our knowledge of God, in our understanding of God, and of our faith, and of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And we are also growing in our commitment to God. Our commitment. If you've been paying attention, and I assume you have, then you are probably thinking to yourself right now, didn't he talk about six practices last week? Yeah, I did. But for the purposes of this sermon series, I have sort of whittled them down to five main steps. You're going to be hearing this a lot over the course of the next 5 weeks, and maybe even they'll become so familiar to you that you'll remember them, and I hope you do. But here are the five steps that we'll be talking about. Number one, reading Scripture daily, because it keeps you connected with God. Number two is to pray daily, and that is to talk to and to listen to and for God. The third one I call Christian conferencing, which sounds like a fancy thing, but really all it means is talking about God, about our faith with other Christians. It's an important thing for us to do that. And I find it one of the things that I think we need to work on more. We need to be able to talk to other people about our faith. And who better to do it than with other Christians who understand? And it's that first step to becoming more confident in our abilities to talk about our faith, and that will allow us then to step out and into that fourth step that I'm going to talk about, which is outreach, which includes missions and service and evangelism. And finally, we're going to talk about stewardship. Stewardship of our time, our talents, our gifts, our resources. Because when we focus on stewardship, we learn about reorienting our priorities. That's what it's all about. I love hearing children talking in church, by the way. So don't ever feel like you have to. It's great. What a wonderful sound. So today we're talking about, next 5 weeks we're going to talk about some of these things. Today I want to talk about reading Scripture daily. And I want to start off by asking this or saying this. I don't know how often each of you out here today read your Bible. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you, I'm sure, probably already have a habit of Scripture reading as part of your daily devotional practice. Others may pick up their Bibles less frequently. However that may be, I want to encourage you today to do so more often. Because I am convinced, and I know through my own personal experience, that you will be blessed by such a practice. Now, I have to be honest with you all. I have never read the Bible through from cover to cover. I've tried a couple of times, and I always seem to get bogged down somewhere around Numbers or Leviticus. But what I've found that has worked for me, I want to share with you all today. And I want to invite you to participate along with me in this practice, if you feel so led. What's worked for me is using something that's called the daily lectionary. Now, you all know that we have a lectionary, and every Sunday there are scriptures that are part of that lectionary. It's the Sunday lectionary, and it's a 3-year cycle. After 3 years, it begins again. But there's also a lectionary called a daily lectionary. And the daily lectionary is a guide for reading the scripture, which provides a list of readings for each day in the year, including an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a gospel reading. They also have a bunch of Psalms, but often I don't read the Psalms. I just focus on those three readings, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the gospel. According to the website that I go to print this off, it just happens to be a Presbyterian website because they have the best version of a printable version of this, but it's not a Presbyterian thing. It's an ecumenical thing. But according to this website, it says that in a 2-year period, this lectionary allows users to read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. It goes on to say that users of this lectionary may choose to read all of the lessons in one sitting or may distribute the readings throughout the day as a part of the practice of daily prayer. I want to tell you all, it takes 5 or 10 minutes of my time in the morning to read these scriptures. Now, I asked Amy yesterday, because I couldn't really remember, how long was it that we've been doing this? And she said she thinks maybe 10 years or so that we've been using this as a resource. I got to thinking about that, and I guess that means that I have been through the Old Testament 5 times and the New Testament 10 times around during that time. And the interesting thing is, I seem to enjoy and look forward to reading it more and more each year. And also that I seem to keep finding new things and to keep digging a little deeper in my understanding every time around. As I said, I would like to invite you all today to join me in this practice. We're going to try to put a link onto our... Hang on a minute. I just lost my place. I want to put a link on our Facebook feed and also on our church website. But also, if you're interested in just... I can email you all a copy. So if you all shoot me an email, I'll be glad to email you a copy of this if you're interested. It's just a list of readings for each day of the month. And it's a wonderful way to work your way through the Bible. Think for a second how cool it would be if we as a congregation were all studying and reading the same text each and every day of the year. Talk about being on the same page. So with that in mind, I want to just add a few more things, just some basic things about reading Scripture, about the Bible. Just a few basic points. The first one is this: Scripture is really important. It's really an important part of our faith. We as Christians are a people of the book. And Christianity is a historical religion. And we find those words of God written in Scripture. And as we interact with them, we grow closer in our understanding and we grow closer in our relationship. There's a fancy thing they taught us in seminary. It's called the Wesleyan Quadrilateral. I hesitate to recommend that because when people hear big words like that, they just kind of glaze over. But really, it's not that complicated. Everybody, we all know a quadrilateral is just a four-sided shape. But The gist of it is this. There are four things in our Wesleyan tradition, and that's who we are as Methodists. That's where we come from. There's four ways that we predominantly understand our faith, understand God and our religion. The first one is Scripture through the written word. The next one is tradition. All the church tradition throughout the ages. The next one is reason. It's our God-given ability to think for ourselves. And the fourth one is experience. Our experience, day-to-day experience, which helps to make our faith real on a day-to-day basis. All of these things are crucial to our understanding of our faith. But Scripture is primary. Tradition, reason, and experience play more of a supporting role as we seek to understand God's Word and apply it to our daily lives. The second thing I want to kind of emphasize is that as United Methodists, we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. For example, I'll give you a perfect example. Jackie was up here today leading us as our worship leader. She didn't have a hat on, as Paul says all women should, and she wasn't being quiet. Like Paul says all women should. That's just one of about 100 examples I could give you all of ways that we take the Bible seriously, but not literally. Enough said, right? The third thing I want to point out is that the Bible, folks, the Bible is interesting. And I'm going to tell you a couple of things just to sort of pique your curiosity. And if you've got something to jot down, I want you to jot these things down because you're going to want to go home and break open your Bible after I tell you this. First of all, if you're really unfamiliar with the Bible and you're uncomfortable with the Bible, first of all, get yourself a good translation, a good modern translation. Something that's written in words that you're used to hearing. And then go to the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is a story that reads like a good novel. You can sit and read Acts in 15 or 20 minutes, and you probably won't want to put it down just because it's such a great story. It's a travelogue of all of Paul's journeys and his adventures and all the things he went through. It's pretty cool, and it's easy to read. And then the Old Testament. Folks, the Old Testament is full of very earthy stories, kind of R-rated stories, you know? We don't talk about all of them that much, but some of them are better than reality TV shows. There's murder, intrigue, sex scandals, inheritance scams, royal vendettas, all kinds of interesting stuff. If you don't believe me, go home, crack open your Bible to Genesis chapter 9 and read about Noah. Go home and crack open your Bible to Genesis chapter 38 and read about the story about Tamar. Whoo! Go home and crack open your Bible, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and read about David. I think that you will find you might be drawn to read more things in the Bible because the Bible is really interesting. And there's all kinds of crazy stuff in there that makes it worth reading. And finally, I want to say just the last thing to sort of close this out is that somehow or another, it's hard to know exactly how to say this, the Bible works in a way that's beyond our ability to understand. You might call it something supernatural. There's a couple of stories that I think help explain this. One time I was reading, I don't know what it was, something about the Bible. And the author that I was reading said, if you read the Gospel of John three times through, just three times in a row, read through the Gospel of John, there is no way that it will not change your life. And try it. Give it a try. And then finally, the final story came from a book called The Pilgrim's Way. And it was a story of the alcoholic soldier. And this soldier had a problem. And he went to this priest and he told the priest about his problem. And the priest said to him, every time you start feeling that urge to drink, open the Bible and begin to read Scripture. And the soldier did that in this story. And amazingly, he was able to overcome his addiction by following this priest's advice. The Bible works, folks. There's something about being in the Word of God, of interacting with the Word of God, that changes us from the inside out. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so grateful that we have your Word in a way that we can access it. But give us, inspire us to have the interest, the curiosity, the courage to dive in to your Word and to spend time reading and studying your Word on a regular basis so that we can grow in our relationship to you, grow in our knowledge, and grow in our commitment. Amen. Our offering baskets, I believe, are still in the narthex. As you come in, you have the opportunity to place your offering in, or as you leave, you may do so. We're going to continue to do that for a while longer, I would suspect. I'm going to offer a blessing now for our offering. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so blessed with so many things. Things that we sometimes remember to thank you for and to be thankful for. Some things that we take for granted. Lord, ultimately, everything that we have is a gift from you. And so, Lord, we ask today as we bring a small portion of these blessings back into your house to support the ministries of this congregation and the outreach and service as we seek to be the hands and feet of Christ in this community. We ask for your wisdom and your guidance to help us to know best how to use these resources to bring honor and glory to your name. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time now for us to be in prayer together in a more formal way, and we'll begin as we often do by giving you opportunity to share joys and concerns or anything else that you want to lift up in the congregation. Is there anything anybody has today? Yes, Carolyn. Did you say Don Smiley? And he is in the hospital, Carolyn, at RMH. Carolyn's brother. Prayers for Don. Other things? I think I saw another hand. Yes.
My heart gets heavy for the people of Afghanistan, especially the women and girls. Our son was deployed there twice, and now we have to think, what was it all for?
Yeah, thank you so much for raising that. Yeah, prayers for the people of Afghanistan and for people of violence who are suffering violence anywhere in the world these days. Yes, others.
I'm
Hmm? Yes.
Lift up Dan to you, to the Lord, and been in so much pain.
Prayers for Jan. Okay, thank you very much. Let us pray together. I'm going to pray a prayer that I'm going to once again involve you all in. We've done this before. And when I say, Lord, in your mercy, I'd like for you all to say, hear our prayer. And then we'll have a moment of silence for you all to reflect as we move on. And then we'll close with our Lord's Prayer, which we'll say together. So let us now pray together. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. We offer all of these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Time now for some announcements. Do we have announcements to raise up today?
Dan, Cindy asked me to remind everybody we have the ice cream social next week.
Okay.
It's always a fun event, and asking people to provide homemade ice cream if you are into doing that. But to bring aside, I think, I'm assuming hot dogs are provided. I'm not sure.
Believe that's true, yeah. And that's going to be, is it 5 or 5:30?
I think it's at 5, but we're also going to have an inflated slip and slide.
Woo!
Kids of all ages. So come a little early for that. They can do that the whole time. But
sure.
Anyway, that's going to be a special thing that's coming.
Awesome. And that will be an outdoor gathering as well. So. Yes, okay. So we hope to see everyone there for that. That sounds like fun. Other announcements. I am still want to just a reminder that I'm going to be meeting with the youth of the church after this worship service to sort of have a brainstorming session to talk about our youth ministry for the upcoming year. And it's great to see so many folks here for that, and I'm looking forward to that opportunity. And also the parents, if there are parents, we're going to have a separate group. I think Lauren is going to sort of shepherd that along with Jane. And so we're going to have sort of two things going on at once. That'll be hopefully within about 10 minutes after we close out our service today. Anything else? Well, if that is all in terms of announcements, then I'm going to invite our musicians back up to close our service for us.
Okay, if you'll stand, we have a wonderful old hymn, old enough that it's in the old brown hymnals that any of you that have been members of this church for a long time, you know that that's been around a long time. It's "We Have an Anchor," and I believe you have the words. Let's sing together, "We Have an Anchor." Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you peace, both now and in the life everlasting. Amen.